Appendix B, Fire Support Coordination Measures. FSCMs enable the employment of fires and effects. Locations and implementing instructions for FSCMs are disseminated electronically by message, database updates, or overlays through command and fire support channels to higher, lower, and adjacent maneuver and supporting units. The establishment or change of a FSCM is typically initiated through the operations cell and ultimately approved by the establishing commander. FSCMs enhance the expeditious engagement of targets, protect forces, populations, critical infrastructure, and sites of religious or cultural significance, and set the stage for future operations. Commanders position and adjust FSCMs consistent with the operational situation and in consultation with superior, subordinate, supporting, and affected commander. The operation cell informs coordination elements of the change and effective times. Conditions that dictate the change of FSCMs are also coordinated with the other agencies and components as appropriate. As conditions are met, the new FSCM effective time can be projected and announced. Following direction to execute the change, the current operations integration cell should confirm with all liaison elements that the FSCM changes have been disseminated. Note, the airspace coordinating and FSCM graphics depicted in this chapter are examples for illustrative purposes only. The authority for constructing such graphics is Army Doctrine Reference Publication, ADP 1-02, JP 3-09, JP 3-52, and Military Standard, MIL Standard 2525. Section 1. Permissive Fire Support Coordination Measures. Permissive FSCMs facilitate the attack of targets. Fires must be cleared with both terrain owners and other airspace users. FSCMs will change frequently during large-scale ground combat operations. The commander adjusts FSCMs as required to keep pace with operations. Coordinated Fire Line. A coordinated fire line is a line beyond which conventional surface-to-surface direct fire and indirect fire support means may fire at any time within the boundaries of the establishing headquarters without additional coordination, but does not eliminate the responsibility to coordinate the airspace required to conduct the mission, JP 3-09. The purpose of the CFL is to expedite the surface-to-surface attack of targets beyond the CFL without coordination with the ground commander, in whose area the targets are located, JP 3-09. A brigade commander or equivalent usually establishes the CFL, but it can also be established, especially in amphibious operations and by a maneuver battalion. It is located as close to the establishing unit as possible without interfering with the maneuver forces. The CFL does not eliminate the requirement or responsibility to coordinate the airspace required to conduct the mission. Such fires must still comply with ROE and law of war targeting constraints. Designation of a CFL is not authorization to fire indiscriminately into the area. The CFL should be placed on identifiable terrain, however. Additional considerations include the limits of ground observation, the location of the initial objectives in the offense, and the requirement for maximum flexibility in both maneuver and the delivery of supporting fires. A division HQ may consolidate subordinate BDE CFLs. A dashed black line with CFL, followed by the establishing HQ above the line and the effective date-time group below the line, provides graphical portrayal of the CFL. Locations for CFLs are disseminated by message or overlay through maneuver and fire support channels to higher, lower, adjacent maneuver, and supporting units. Fire Support Coordination Line. A fire support coordination line is a fire support coordination measure established by the land or amphibious force commander to support common objectives within an area of operation, beyond which all fires must be coordinated with affected commanders prior to engagement. And short of the line, all fires must be coordinated with the establishing commander prior to engagement, JP 3-09. FSCLs facilitate the expeditious attack of surface targets of opportunity beyond the coordinating measure. The FSCL is not a boundary. The synchronization of operations on either side of the FSCL is the responsibility of the establishing commander, out to the limits of the land or amphibious force boundary. The FSCL applies to all fires of air, land, and sea-based weapon systems using any type of ammunition. The JFLIC and JFMIC cannot employ fires long of the FSEL without coordination with affected commanders. And the JFAC cannot employ fires short of the FSEL without coordination with the JFLIC or JFMIC. Supporting elements attacking targets beyond the FSEL must ensure that the attack will not produce adverse effects on or to the rear of the line. The appropriate land or amphibious force commander controls all air-to-ground and surface-to-surface attack operations short of a FSEL. The FSEL should follow well-defined terrain features to assist identification of the air. Coordination of attacks beyond the FSEL is especially critical to commanders of air, land, and soft, JP3-09. By establishing a FSEL close in, yet at sufficient depth so as to not limit the tempo of maneuver forces, and eases the coordination requirements for engagement of targets within their areas of operations by forces that may not be under their direct control, the commander adjusts the location of the FSEL as required to keep pace with operations. In large-scale ground combat operations, the FSEL will change frequently. The Joint Force Commander should establish a time standard and guidance for shifting an FSEL. The FSEL is a term oriented to land and airspace operations and is normally located only on land. In certain situations, such as littoral areas, the FSEL may affect both land and sea areas. If possible, the FSEL should follow well-defined terrain features to assist identification from the air. The commander of the landing force normally establishes the FSEL for amphibious operations. Changes to the FSEL require notification of all affected forces within the AO and must allow sufficient time for these forces to incorporate the FSEL change. When friendly forces are operating beyond the FSEL, restrictive FSEMs, such as RFAs and NFAs, should be employed to protect those forces. A solid black line extending across the assigned areas of the establishing HQ provides the graphic portrayal of the FSEL. The letters FSEL, followed by the establishing HQ, are annotated above the line, and the effective date-time group below the line. FSELs do not have to follow traditional straight-line paths. Positioning the FSEL on terrain identifiable from the air is a technique that may further assist in fratricide prevention. Curved or enclosed FSEL have applications in joint operations conducted in non-contiguous areas of operation. The decision on where to place, or even whether to use a FSEL, requires careful consideration. If used, its location is based on estimates of the situation and concept of operations. The establishment of a FSEL does not create a FFA beyond the FSEL. Engagements beyond the FSEL must be consistent with the establishing commander's priorities, timing, and desired effects. Location of enemy forces, anticipated rates of movement, concept and tempo of the operation, organic weapon capabilities such as wide-area munitions, or those with delayed effects, and other factors, are all considered by the commander. The FSEL is normally positioned closer to the forward line of own troops in the defense than in the offense. However, the exact positioning depends on the situation. Placing the FSEL at greater depths will typically require support from higher HQ and other supporting commanders. Also, when the FSEL is positioned at greater depth, there is greater requirement for detailed coordination with the establishing commander and can slow the expeditious clearance of fires short of the FSEL. Attacks on surface targets short of the FSEL during the conduct of joint interdiction operations must be controlled by and or coordinated with the appropriate land or amphibious force commander. The establishing commander adjusts the location of the FSEL as required to keep pace with operations. A series of disseminated on-order FSELs will help accelerate the coordination required. The establishing commander quickly transmits the change to higher, lower, adjacent, and supporting HQ to ensure that appropriate controlling agencies coordinate engagement operations. Changes to the FSEL require notification of all affected forces within the AO and must allow sufficient time for these forces and or components to incorporate the FSEL change. Current technology and collaboration tools between the elements of the joint force determine the times required for changing the FSEL. Varying capabilities for acquisition and engagement may exist among adjacent commanders in a multinational operation. Normally, Commanders at senior tactical echelons establish an FSCL to support their operations. Layered FSCLs and multiple separate non-contiguous core and or MAGTAF FSCLs, positioned at varying depths, create a coordination and execution challenge for supporting commanders. For example, tracking effective times, lateral boundaries, and multiple command guidance. In cases such as these, when the components share a mutual boundary, the JFC or a designated component commander may consolidate the operational requirements of subordinates to establish a single FSCL. When possible, a single FSCL best facilitates air-ground operations synchronization. Free fire area. A free fire area is a specific region into which any weapon system may fire without additional coordination with the establishing headquarters, JP3-09. Where indirect fires and aircraft share a FFA, consider establishing an airspace coordination area to assist in deconfliction. Only the military commander with jurisdiction over the area, usually a division or higher commander, may establish a FFA. Preferably, the FFA should be located on identifiable terrain. However, grid coordinates or the global area reference system may be used to designate the FFA. The FFA is graphically portrayed by a solid black line defining the area and the letters FFA within, followed by the establishing HQ and the effective date-time group, ADP-1-02. Gridded reference graphic. A gridded reference graphic, GRG, are detailed gridded maps or imagery that have a military grid reference system grid and may contain information including building numbers, FSCMs, phase lines, helicopter landing zones, and named areas of interest. It is the responsibility of the ground unit that owns a particular OA to produce GRGs for that area, ensure dissemination to subordinate, adjacent, and higher echelons, and maintain version control on the products as they are updated or revised. The developing unit should consider selecting grid sectors based on what the aircrew or aircraft sensors can most easily see, such as rivers, road junctions, buildings, and bridges. For more information on the GRG, see JP3-09.3. Below are recommendations for GRG creation. Ensure the collection manager provides the clearest and most recent image of the area. Imagery should contain a north arrow, and the picture should be oriented north up whenever possible. Easting and northing lines should be labeled at the top and left side of the GRG, respectively. Buildings may be numbered from northwest to southeast for large area GRGs, or from the objective building clockwise for smaller scale single objective GRGs. Killbox. A killbox is a three-dimensional permissive fire support coordination measure with an associated airspace coordinating measure used to facilitate the integration of fires, JP3-09. When established, the primary purpose of a kill box is to allow lethal attack against surface targets without further coordination with the establishing commander and without terminal attack control. When used to integrate air-to-surface and surface-to-surface indirect fires, the kill box will have appropriate restrictions. The goal is to reduce the coordination required to fulfill support requirements with maximum flexibility while preventing fratricide. A kill box will not be established for CAS missions. If a CAS mission is required within an established kill box, the portion of the kill box requiring detailed integration should be closed. A kill box facilitates the expeditious air-to-surface lethal attack of targets. Such attacks can be augmented with surface-to-surface indirect fires. A blue kill box permits air-to-surface fires within its boundaries, and typically extends from the surface to a ceiling altitude. A purple kill box within its boundaries typically extends from the surface through an ACM floor up to a ceiling altitude. The purple kill box allows indirect fire trajectories to pass above the maximum altitude or below the ACM floor. Altitude is the vertical distance of a level, a point or an object considered as a point, measured from mean sea level or height above ellipsoid. Kill boxes can augment traditional fire support coordination measures, such as FSCLs and CFLs. They help the commander focus the effort of AI and indirect fire assets. Fire support coordination measures are not mutually exclusive, so a kill box could contain other measures within its boundaries to include NFAs or airspace coordination areas. Restrictive FSCMs and ACMs will always have priority when established in a kill box. Optimally, there should be no friendly ground forces within or maneuvering into an established kill box. If circumstances require otherwise, then NFAs must be established to cover those forces, or the kill box must be canceled. The establishing commander must maintain awareness on locations of friendly ground forces and the status of kill boxes within the AO, and maintain timely kill box management to prevent fratricide. All aircraft not assigned to an active kill box are restricted from flying through or delivering air-to-surface munitions into the kill box, unless coordinated with the kill box coordinator. Effects and trajectories of surface-to-surface indirect fires also are not allowed, without coordination, to pass through the airspace of an active kill box. Depiction of a kill box may vary among automation systems. Until the system displays are synchronized, fire support personnel must be aware of the meanings of the system's visual display. For more information on establishment and employment of the kill box, see JP3-09 and ATP3-09.34. Section 2. Restrictive Fire Support Coordination Measures. Restrictive fire support coordination measures are those that provide safeguards for friendly forces and non-combatants, facilities, or terrain. No fire area. A no fire area is an area designated by the appropriate commander into which fires or their effects are prohibited. JP3-09.3. There are two exceptions. When the establishing HQ approves joint fires within the NFA on a mission-by-mission basis, when an enemy force within the NFA engages a friendly force, and the engaged commander determines there is a requirement for immediate protection and responds with the minimal force needed to defend the force. Any size unit may establish NFAs. If possible, the NFA is established on identifiable terrain. It may also be located by a series of grids or by a radius from a center point. The NFA is graphically portrayed as an area, outlined with a solid black line with black diagonal lines inside. The letters NFA are within, followed by the establishing HQ and the effective daytime group. Restrictive fire area. A restrictive fire area is a location in which specific restrictions are imposed and into which fires that exceed those restrictions will not be delivered without coordination with the establishing headquarters, JP3-09. A maneuver battalion or higher echelon normally establishes a RFA. Usually, the RFA is located on identifiable terrain, by grid, or by a radius from a center point. To facilitate rapidly changing operations, on-call RFAs may be used. The dimensions, locations, and restrictions of the on-call RFAs are prearranged. A RFA is graphically portrayed with solid black line defining the area and the letters RFA within, followed by the establishing HQ, and the effective date-time group provides graphic portrayal of the RFA. The restrictions may be included within the graphic if space allows, or reference may be made to a specific OPORD or OPLAN, ADP-1-02. For example, a commander may identify a particular type of ammunition to preclude its firing within the RFA. Restrictive fire line. A restrictive fire line is a specific boundary established between converging friendly surface forces that prohibits fires or their effects from crossing, JP3-09. The purpose of the RFL is to prevent fratricide and duplication of engagements by converging friendly forces. An RFL is graphically portrayed by a solid black line, with RFL followed by the establishing HQ above the line and the effective date-time group below the line. The commander common to the converging forces establishes the RFL. It is located on identifiable terrain when possible. In link-up operations, it is usually closer to the stationary force to allow maximum freedom of action for the maneuver and fire support of the link-up force. Section 3. Additional Graphic Control Measures. Additional graphic control measures can be permissive or restrictive. A graphic control measure is a symbol used on maps and displays to regulate forces and warfighting functions, ADP-60. These control measures include boundaries, phase lines, trigger lines, and PAA. Fire support area and a fire support station. In amphibious operations, when engagement groups are formed and separate landing areas are designated, the Commander Amphibious Task Force may assign each engagement group commander the responsibility for control of naval gunfire support within the area. The officer in tactical command, typically the commander, Amphibious Task Force, establishes fire support areas and fire support stations. A fire support area is an appropriate maneuver area assigned to fire support ships by the Naval Force Commander, from which they can deliver gunfire support to an amphibious operation, JP-3-09. A fire support area is normally associated with amphibious operations, but can be used whenever it is desirable to have a fire support ship occupy a certain geographic position. The fire support station designation is used to station ships within boat lanes of the assaulting force, or in areas where maneuvering room is restricted by other considerations. A fire support station is an exact location at sea within a fire support area from which a fire support ship delivers fire. JP-3-02. Fire support areas are designed with Roman numerals, for example, FSA 1, 2, or 3, and are graphically portrayed on the Naval Surface Fire Support Operations Overlay. Fire support stations are designated by numbers, for example, FSS 1, 2, or 3, and are shown on the Naval Surface Fire Support Operations Overlay as an X, indicating the exact position of the ship. Zone of Fire. A zone of fire is an area within which a designated ground unit or fire support ship delivers, or is prepared to deliver, fire support, JP-3-09. Fire may or may not be observed. Gunfire support ships and units are assigned land divided into zones of fire as a means to coordinate their efforts with each other and with the scheme of maneuver of the supported ground unit. Units and ships assigned zones of fire are responsible for engaging known targets and targets of opportunity according to their mission and the guidance of the supported commander. Graphically portray a ZF by the use of broken lines, solid lines if unit boundaries are used as depicted, with designating Arabic numerals, for example, ZF3, JP-3-09. Note, JP-3-09 directs the use of only Arabic numerals to identify a ZF. The FATAD software uses the Zone of Responsibility graphic to implement a ZF. The Zone of Responsibility line or area name field allows the use of uppercase alphabetic characters, A to Z, numeric characters, 0 to 9, and blank spaces to identify that graphic. The commander of the maritime forces providing naval surface fire support establishes and assigns zones of fire for the forces. The ZF for an artillery battalion or a ship assigned the support relationship or mission of DS normally corresponds to the AO of the supported unit. The ZF for an artillery battalion or a ship assigned the support relationship or mission of GS should be within the boundaries of the supported unit. When used in conjunction with naval gunfire, the size and shape of a ZF will depend on the following. Boundaries. In order to permit ready identification by the spotter and the individual fire support ship, the boundaries of the zones of fire should be recognizable both on the terrain and on a map. It may be necessary to divide a large ZF into two or more smaller zones, due to considerations discussed in subsequent paragraphs. The boundaries of zones of fire of DS ships should correspond to the zones of action of the landing force units supported. Size. The size of each ZF should be such that the fire support ships, or ships assigned to observe and destroy targets, will be able to accomplish the mission in the time allocated. When zones of fire are delineated, known or suspected targets scheduled for destruction in each zone are plotted, and then the number and type of targets are compared to the capability of the ship. Visibility. Observation from seaward is a desirable feature for zones of fire, since it permits a ship to deliver more accurate and rapid fire. Accessibility to fire. The zones of fire must be accessible to the trajectory of the fire support ship or ships assigned to the zone. A FA unit's higher HQ may also assign a FA unit a ZF. The ZF for artillery units assigned to a maneuver unit or assigned the DS support relationship corresponds to the AO of the parent or supported unit. The ZF for an artillery unit assigned the R support relationship corresponds to the ZF of the reinforced artillery unit. The ZF for an artillery unit assigned the GSR support relationship corresponds to the AO of the supported unit, including the zones of fire of the reinforced artillery unit. The ZF for an artillery unit assigned the GS relationship corresponds to the AO of the supported unit. See JP3-02 for more information on amphibious operations. Final protective fire. Final protective fire is an immediately available, prearranged barrier of fire designed to impede enemy movement across defensive line or areas, JP3-09.3. An FPF provides continuous fires on a planned target. FPFs should be integrated with maneuver crew served weapons final protective lines. When the adversary initiates the final assault into a defensive position, the defending unit initiates its FPFs to kill adversary forces and suppress armored vehicles. The FPF consists of a single black line, two anchor points, one at each end of the line, determine the line's length and orientation. The target number followed by the firing unit responsible, and the caliber of that unit's weapons below the line. Boundaries. A boundary is a line that delineates surface areas for the purpose of facilitating coordination and deconfliction of operations between adjacent units, formations, or areas. JP3O. Boundaries divide up areas of operation and define responsibility for clearance of fires. Boundaries are both permissive and restrictive in nature. They are permissive in that a maneuver commander, unless otherwise restricted, enjoys designation of priority, effects and timing of fire, and maneuver within their own boundaries. Thus, units may execute joint fires without close coordination with neighboring units unless otherwise restricted. They are restrictive in that normally units do not fire across adjacent or forward boundaries unless the fires are coordinated with the affected unit or the fires are allowed by a permissive fire support coordination measure, such as a CFL. These restrictions apply to conventional and special munitions and their effects. For more information on boundaries, see ADP 3-90. Phase line and trigger line. A phase line is an easily identified feature in the operational area utilized for control and coordination of military operations, JP 3-09. Phase lines are usually easily identifiable from a ground or air vantage point and may include features such as ridge lines, tree lines, hilltops, roads, and rivers. Phase lines can be used to identify limits of advance and to coordinate fires. A trigger line is a phase line located on identifiable terrain that crosses the engagement area, used to initiate and mass fires into an engagement area at a predetermined range for all or like weapon systems, ATP 3-21.20. The commander designates a phase line as the trigger line for fire support attack assets. The trigger line's location is based on such variables as the time of flight for artillery shells, positioning of the guns, and the existence of quick fire links. A trigger line's location varies from situation to situation. Its position reflects the distance that the enemy force is likely to traverse and the time it takes from when fires are requested to when artillery rounds impact. This gives time for the fire support delivery systems to respond to the initial call for fire. Fire's unit commanders must determine the appropriate planning response time for their unit based on their weapon system and training proficiency to recommend the placement of a trigger line. The commander can establish another trigger line for the most accurate long-range weapon system in the vicinity of the area where the fire support impacts to capitalize on the asymmetric attack. However, dust and debris resulting from the artillery fire may prevent the direct fire systems from engaging the enemy. The commander establishes other trigger lines for shorter-range systems. The commander may give guidance to extremely proficient crews to engage the enemy at longer than normal ranges or give them different engagement priorities than the rest of the force, such as giving priority to engaging air defense or engineering breaching systems. This could result in losing the effect that the sudden application of massed fires has on an enemy. When the enemy reaches these closer trigger lines, the commander establishes a decision point to help determine should longer range systems continue to fire in depth or to concentrate fires on a single point. Many factors impact the decision, most of which concern the enemy and how they maneuver and the effects of the defending forces' fires. The purpose of each phase line and any actions required by forces affected by the phase line will be specified on the op board of the establishing HQ. Any commander given an AO can establish a phase line. For more on phase lines, see ADP 3-90. Position area for artillery. A position area for artillery is an area assigned to an artillery unit where individual artillery systems can maneuver to increase their survivability. A position area for artillery is not an area of operations for the artillery unit occupying it. FM 3-90-1. The maneuver commander assigns PAA as a terrain management technique. A PAA potentially attracts enemy counterfire, so other units should stay away from that area to avoid enemy artillery attacks. The exact size of a PAA depends on the mission variables of mission, enemy, terrain and weather, troops and support available, time available, and civil considerations, referred to as MET-TC. A paladin platoon normally requires a PAA encompassing over 4 square kilometers, and a MLRS platoon requires 12 square kilometers. Units equipped with M119A3 or M777A2 requires 1 square kilometer PAA. The PAA is graphically portrayed by a solid black line defining the area and the letters PAA within, followed by the establishing HQ and the effective date time group, ADP 1-02. The Maneuver Echelon Operations Officer, G3 or S3, establishes PAA within the unit AO. The artillery unit occupies but does not control the PAA and has neither the authority nor responsibilities that are associated with a unit assigned in AO. For example, other units can move through a PAA without clearing that movement with the occupying artillery unit. The artillery unit occupying a PAA establishes a liaison with the unit with authority for the AO, where the PAA is located. The Echelon FSO is usually responsible for liaison in accordance with standard command and support relationships. The decision to establish a PAA affects airspace control and coordination for rotary, fixed-wing, and tilt-rotor aircraft integration. A PAA is a base upon which to establish future gun target lines for lateral deconfliction and areas for rotary, fixed-wing, and tilt-rotor aircraft to avoid, depending on high or low-angle artillery fires. For more on PAA, see ADP 3-90. Section 4. Target Acquisition. The designation of radar zones provides a means of prioritizing TA radar sectors of search into areas of greater or lesser importance. Zones focus radar coverage on the combined arms commander's battlefield priorities. A radar zone is a geometric figure placed around an area that designates the area as more or less important. There are 4 different types of zones used with the radar. Critical Friendly Zone, Call for Fire Zone, Artillery Target Intelligence Zone, Sensor Zone. Critical Friendly Zone. A critical friendly zone is an area of coverage employed by weapons locating radar, which the maneuver commander designates as critical to the protection of an asset whose loss would seriously jeopardize the mission. A CFZ is graphically portrayed by a solid black line defining the area and the letters CF Zone, followed by the identifying name within, plus the effective date-time group. The CFC requires a minimum of 3 and a maximum of 6 anchor points to define the boundary of the area. The size and shape of the CFC is determined by the anchor points and may be circular, rectangular, or irregular. When possible, the effective date-time group, movable and scalable, should be placed within the graphic boundary, but it may be placed outside the graphic or within a computer dropbox if necessary. CFCs may be phased along the maneuver axis of advance and activated when entered by friendly forces. This is particularly important in those areas where friendly forces are most vulnerable, for example, river crossing sites and areas open to easy visual observation. Typical CFCs include maneuver assembly areas, command posts, forward arming and refueling points, friendly breaching sites, and other troop concentrations. The maneuver commander may also designate critical civilian infrastructure as a CFC. Designation of a CFC requires WLR coverage of the designated area and attack/delivery assets to provide counterfire. The supporting field artillery unit's automated fire support system places any WLR-acquired enemy indirect fire into a CFC in priority ahead of all other counterfire targets within an immediate call for fire. Call for fire zone. A call for fire zone is a weapons locating radar search area from which the commander wants to attack hostile firing systems. A CFFC would be placed around an enemy fire support position identified as a HBT. The CFFC provides the second most responsive priority for fires from the radars. On the basis of IPB and other target indicators, CFFCs are used to monitor suspect areas from which threat indirect fires may jeopardize the mission. Establishing a CFFC will facilitate immediate counterfire of enemy artillery, disrupting the friendly scheme of maneuver. A CFFC is graphically portrayed by a solid black line defining the area and the letters CFF zone, followed by the establishing HQ within, plus the effective daytime group. The CFFC requires a minimum of 3 and a maximum of 6 anchor points to define the boundary of the area. The size and shape of the CFFC is determined by the anchor points and may be circular, rectangular, or irregular. When possible, the effective date-time group, movable and scalable, should be placed within the graphic boundary, but it may be placed outside the graphic if necessary. Artillery Target Intelligence Zone. An artillery target intelligence zone is a weapons locating radar search area in enemy territory that the commander monitor closely to detect and report any weapon ahead of all acquisitions, other than those from critical friendly zones or call for fire zones. Artillery target intelligence zones may be established in areas where we are not sure about threat indirect fires and need to develop the situation. They can also be used in areas of suspect threat indirect fires that the commander wishes to monitor closely but are out of friendly indirect fire range. When possible, the effective date-time group, movable and scalable, should be placed within the graphic boundary, but it may be placed outside the graphic if necessary. An artillery target intelligence zone is graphically portrayed by a solid black line defining the area and the letters ATI, followed by the establishing HQ within plus the effective date-time group. The artillery target intelligence zone requires a minimum of 3 and a maximum of 6 anchor points to define the boundary of the area. The size and shape of the CFFC is determined by the anchor points and may be circular, rectangular, or irregular. Sensor zone. A sensor zone is an area from which the weapons locating radar is prohibited from reporting acquisitions. Normally placed around friendly weapon systems to prevent them from being acquired by friendly radars. The sensor zone can be used to prevent WLRs from reporting acquisitions from other sensitive areas as well. A sensor zone is graphically portrayed by a solid black line defining the area and the words sensor zone, followed by the defining characteristic within, plus the effective date-time group. The sensor zone requires a minimum of 3 and a maximum of 6 anchor points to define the boundary of the area. The size and shape of the CFFC is determined by the anchor points and may be circular, rectangular, or irregular. When possible, the effective date-time group, movable and scalable, should be placed within the graphic boundary, but it may be placed outside the graphic if necessary. Common sensor boundary. Target duplication between radars is likely during combat operations. In addition, the sheer volume of targets being passed from the radars will overwhelm the targeting element, especially if the radars are under centralized control. An effective method of reducing the duplication of these targets for attack is to establish a common sensor boundary. A common sensor boundary is a line depicted by a series of grid coordinates, grid line, phase line, or major terrain feature that divides target acquisition search areas into radar acquisition management areas. Section 5. Airspace Control. Airspace control increases operational effectiveness by promoting the safe, efficient, and flexible use of airspace, while minimizing restraints on airspace users. Airspace control includes coordinating, integrating, and regulating airspace to increase operational effectiveness. Airspace control is essential to overall military effectiveness and in achieving JFC objectives. given the speed, range, and physical characteristics of air operations, ACMs are integrated into operations to deconflict airspace users and decrease the potential for unintended engagements against friendly, civil, and neutral aircraft. For more information on airspace control, see JP3-52. Airspace coordinating measures. A key to effectively coordinating joint fires is to constantly view the OA as a three-dimensional area. ACMs are nominated from subordinate HQ through Component Command HQ and forwarded to the Airspace Control Authority in accordance with the Airspace Control Plan. Airspace coordinating measures are measures employed to facilitate the efficient use of airspace to accomplish missions and simultaneously provide safeguards for friendly forces. JP3-52. Most ACMs affect direct and indirect joint fires trajectories and UAS because of their airspace use. The establishment of ACMs in coordination with FSEMs results in the most efficient use of airspace for all friendly airspace users. Some ACMs may be established to permit surface joint fires or UAS operations. The component commanders ensure that ACMs nominations support and do not conflict with joint operations prior to forwarding the nominations to the joint AOC. The Airspace Control Authority approves formal airspace coordinating measure nominations and includes them in the ACO. The Airspace Control Authority is the commander designated to assume overall responsibility for the operation of the airspace control system in the airspace control area. JP3-52. The Airspace Control Authority consolidates, coordinates, and deconflicts the airspace requirements of the components and publishes the ACMs in the ACO. The ACO is normally published at least daily. An Airspace Control Order is an order implementing the Airspace Control Plan that provides the details of the approved requests for airspace coordinating measures, JP3-52. It is published either as part of the ATO or as a separate document. An ATO is a method used to task and disseminate to components, subordinate units, and C2 agencies projected sorties, capabilities, or forces to targets and specific missions. Normally provides specific instructions to include call signs, targets, controlling agencies, etc., as well as general instructions, JP3-30. See JP3-52 and JP3-30 for further information on the conduct and control of air operations. Note, altitude typically refers to the height above sea level of a given point. Personnel must ensure the altitude is correctly displayed in accordance with their system requirements. Some systems may require altitude to be expressed as height above ellipsoid, while others may require expression in relation to mean sea level. Some systems may require conversion from feet to meters to permit system entry. Fire support personnel must also be aware that altitude is sometimes expressed as measured from ground level rather than mean sea level. Army commanders use ACMs to facilitate the efficient use of airspace and simultaneously provide safeguards for friendly forces. Procedural control ACMs are used to delineate an airspace boundary or define airspace dimensions for enabling other systems, such as fire support systems, to discriminate friendly coordination joint engagement measures from enemy, employ fires across boundaries, and coordinate joint attacks of targets for a particular operation. Restricted operations zone is airspace reserved for specific activities in which the operation of one or more airspace uses is restricted. JP3-52. The ACMs that frequently affect fire support include the airspace coordination area, the coordinating altitude, and the restricted operations zone, ROS. Those are discussed here. See FM3-52 and JP3-52 for other ACMs. Airspace coordination area. An airspace coordination area is a three-dimensional block of airspace in a target area, established by the appropriate commander, in which friendly aircraft are reasonably safe from friendly surface fires, JP3-09.3. A formal airspace coordination area requires detailed planning. Vital information defining the formal airspace coordination area includes minimum and maximum altitudes, a baseline designated by grid coordinates at each end, the width on either side of the baseline, and the effective times. When time for coordination is limited, an informal airspace coordination area is used. In an informal airspace coordination area, aircraft and surface joint fires may be separated by time or distance, lateral, altitude, or a combination of the two. The maneuver commander requesting CAS or employing helicopters can request an informal airspace coordination area. The informal airspace coordination area is approved at battalion or higher level. Both types of airspace coordination areas are constructed with the assistance of the ALO to ensure they meet the technical requirements of the aircraft and weapon systems. Army Aviation, ADA, Military Intelligence, Maneuver, UAS, EW Assets, Fire Support, and Joint and Multinational Air and Ground Forces all use airspace. Because they are not organized, trained, and equipped to conduct airspace control, BCT and lower commanders exercise airspace management as part of a division's airspace control within division-assigned airspace. Airspace control maximizes the simultaneous use of airspace. At decisive moments, commanders are able to exploit all available combat power synchronized in time, space, and purpose. Fires are airspace users. Clearance of fires maximizes damage to enemy capabilities while minimizing the risk of damage to friendly forces and non-combatants. Clearance of fires may be accomplished through a staff process, control measures embedded in automation systems, active or passive recognition systems, or a combination thereof. A formal airspace coordination area is graphically shown as an area enclosed by a solid black line. Depicted inside the enclosed area are ACA, the establishing HQ, the minimum and maximum altitudes, the grid coordinates for each end of the baseline, and the width of the airspace coordination area. The grid coordinates for each point of an irregularly shaped airspace coordination area, and the effective date-time group, or the words, on order. Informal airspace coordination areas are not normally displayed on maps, charts, or overlays. Note, in NATO FA tactical doctrine, the airspace coordination area is a fire support coordination measure and is defined as a restricted area or route of travel specified for use by friendly aircraft and established for the purpose of preventing friendly aircraft from being fired on by friendly forces. Allied Artillery Publication 5. Note, the depiction of airspace coordination area on a two-dimensional surface, such as on a map, does not display the possibly irregularly shaped airspace coordination area dimensions, such as Army Tactical Missile System, ATACMS, missile or Excalibur flight pads, that may be constructed within automation systems, which can provide information for airspace clearance. Coordinating altitude. The coordinating altitude is an airspace coordinating measure that uses altitude to separate users and as the transition between different airspace control elements. JP3-52. Examples of Army airspace control elements include ADA and Army Corps Division airspace elements. Army echelons incorporate airspace control plan guidance and integrate the ACO, Area Air Defense Plan, special instructions, and the ATO via OPORDS. All airspace users should coordinate with the appropriate airspace control elements when transitioning through or firing through the coordinating altitude. The requirement to integrate airspace use in support of ground fire missions requires the determination of the firing locations, the impact location, and the airspace that will be transited by the projectile during flight. Those projectile parameters are integrated with other airspace users. Service liaisons and airspace control agencies work closely to ensure that appropriate ACMs and FSCMs integrate surface operations and airspace operations. Coordination level. Coordination level is a procedural method to separate fixed and rotary wing aircraft by determining an altitude below which fixed-wing aircraft normally will not fly, JP3-52. To prevent friendly fire incidents and manage operational risk, all airspace users should coordinate with the appropriate airspace control elements when flying or firing through a coordination level. Restricted Operations Zone. The Restricted Operations Zone is airspace reserved for specific activities, in which the operations of one or more airspace users is restricted. JP 3-52. Some typical uses are to restrict air operations over artillery launch and target areas, UAS launch and recovery areas, and areas identified by the Area Air Defense Commander as weapon-free zones. A ROS is graphically shown as an area enclosed by a solid black line. Depicted inside the enclosed area are ROS, the establishing HQ, the minimum and maximum altitudes, the grid coordinates for each end of the baseline, figure outline grid coordinates, or the center point grid coordinate and radius in meters, and the effective date-time group, or the words, on order. For additional information on the airspace coordination area, coordinating altitude, ROS, and other airspace coordinating measures, see FM 3-52, ATP 3-52.1, JP 3-09.3, and JP 3-52.